The opinions expressed by the host of the show are his and his only, but we do hope you agree with those. And remember, past performance does not guarantee future results.
We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation.
All right, welcome to another edition of Hobby Quick Hits. This episode will be about grading, and I know I've done episodes about grading before, tips, how to submit, but I recently got asked, you know, someone who listens to the show, who knows that I do a lot of grading and selling of grading cards, and wanted to know how I go about the process, not of submitting, I already did that, but acquiring cards to submit for grading. And so I never really kind of talked about it. And so the first thing, you know, the disclaimer, whether you like grading or not, it's a huge part of the hobby. Doesn't mean you have to do it. Like I always say, hobby as you so choose. And, you know, I wasn't a big fan of grading in its first inception, but you know, being in the hobby as long as I have, it's been because it's a huge part of the hobby. I've adapted and pivoted to making it a huge part of what I do. As someone who resells cards, I have a sales tax number. I'm a legit, you know, I pay legit sales tax. Selling graded cards is probably 60 to 70% of what I do. Like, if I had to put a percentage on sales, I would say 60 to 70% of what I sell are cards and slabs. I probably could sit down and really break the numbers down if I wanted to. That's just sort of a rough guesstimate, if you will. And so at 60 to 70%, it's a huge part of what I do. So, you know, if you want to learn my procedures, you know, how I examine the cards and the process I go through that, which is actually sort of a two-step process. I'm not sure what episode number it is. It's kind of one of my early first ones. You can go back and listen to that. But this episode is going to talk about more or less how do I acquire that inventory to send in 50, 60, 70 cards for grading. And so I don't open as much wax as I used to, but I do open some, obviously, when I can find it, you know, especially on the retail level. We all know how that's been this year. But so, you know, if I open a product, I do acquire, obviously, cards out of opening that product. And, you know, if something of significance is I hit something of significance in there, I'll, you know, I have a Ultra Pro top loader box, and anything I consider, one is marked graded candidates, and if I get something that I believe is a candidate for grading, I put it in that box. So if I open some stuff and there's something in there of significance or I think would be better slabbed and graded, even before I look at condition, I'll just put it into that box. The other thing I do on many selling and buying platforms, you know, your ComCs, your Star Stock, Sport Lots, I buy singles quite a bit. Actually a good heavy chunk of what I do now. And many of those singles that I purchase, you know, in the back of my mind, I say, you know, obviously when I get the cards in hand, I'm going to look at them, and that card is slated to be graded based on what condition it is. Now, not every card you get in the mail is you know, gradable, you know. And so my grading philosophy is this. If I believe it has at least a 9 and has a shot at a 10, I'll submit it. If I know that it's either definitely a 9 or even worse, I generally don't submit it if it's a card I'd consider for grading. You know, not all cards are for grading. You know, if it doesn't enhance the value or make it more consumable, then I'm not going to do it. And so I purchase singles. I'll buy, you know, lots off eBay. That's another thing, especially this year. I've really ramped up my lot purchases, you know, of a certain, either by player, or I've bought in, you know, a 50, 60 card lot of a set, you know, like the Finest Flashbacks, that online exclusive. I bought a lot of that. I bought a lot of Luis Roberts stuff online, you know, either in lots or even singles, with the intent to try to grade a good portion of it. So singles, lots, I buy a lot that way, with the intent to, if they, you know, pass the smell test, so to speak, they're going to be graded. And the other thing I do is buy collections on here at the local level. Probably doesn't happen as often as I'd like, but, you know, I do get a lot of calls each day to, you know, people selling their collection, or they find their 90s collection in the garage or the attic. And most of the time, you know, it's not really worth it for me. A lot of times I'll have those folks send pictures first rather than me make a trip out there. But every once in a while, I had one last year, decent collection, about 15 minutes from me. Wound up being 15 tubs. A lot of it was wax and packs, and there was some vintage stuff in there and some... regular, modern, more modern cards. And there was probably, 50, 60 candidates from that purchase that were grading candidates. And so, you know, like I said, I get that top loader box. I have those candidates in soft sleeves in that box. And then when that box gets pretty loaded, pretty full, because I like to send in, you know, bulk submissions, you get the... cheaper rate and whatnot. So when that box gets either 3/4 full or more, what I'll do is I put on my, I got these magnifying glasses. They're glasses. You put in whatever strength, they have lenses, magnifying lenses, got a light attached to it. I actually recently got that this year. I'll put those things on and start going through that grading candidate box and start looking at those, whatever, you know, 50 to 100 cards that are in that box. And, you know, matter of fact, actually, before I even get to that, I skipped a step. I'll go through that box without the lenses on. I'll just kind of do the eye test. And the thing is, if I can see something that makes it not gradable just on the eye test alone, it saves me the step two. And step two is where I put those lenses on, the light, and magnify them in hand and go through. The ones that pass the first inspection now have to pass the second inspection for me to send them off for grading. I've used SGC, PSA, BGS. I always bill them as the big three, and some I send to each one. Lately, it's been more PSA and SGC, both. BGS for certain cards as well. And so, you know, I do that second inspection with those magnifying glasses that I wear right on my face with the light. And, you know, I look at them very closely, front and back. You got to look at surface. If there are a chrome card, I got a microfiber cloth, you know, the same ones we clean our glasses with, or our cell phone screens, you know, just that thin cloth. I'll use that to, especially on chrome cards, remove fingerprints, get that thing all shiny and spotless. You know, people don't realize when you send a card, especially a shiny card or chrome card for grading, as crazy as it sounds, if you have a fingerprint on there, even one that can just be wiped off, but you it's on there and that grader sees it, it affects that surface grade and can actually knock your grade down. So with a microfiber cloth, I'll You know, I'll wipe down any kind of chrome cards. If you do that, you don't want to be too rough. You can scratch them with that cloth. It takes, you know, you got to be rough with it, but it can be done. Obviously, you don't want to do that. So when you use those microfiber cloths, you want to be gentle. But you want to take that, clean that surface, get those fingerprints off, because that can really cost you. And then so I go on the second run through. You know, if it passes the muster with that magnification, then that card is gradable. And you know, if I start with use round numbers. If I start with 100 candidates, I generally, by the time I've done the first and second inspection, it's probably down to 50, 60 cards. And I'm very critical of my own card. Like, believe me, here's one of my best advice, and I said this on the other program I did about grading. Be self-critical. Believe me, those graders are going to be critical too. That's their job. So be critical on your own cards before you submit them. You know, one of the early mistakes I made in my early days when I first start grading was I said, that's not too bad. They won't penalize that, or they won't see that. And I got a lot of 8s and 8.5s because I was just being too lenient with my eye. I'd see something and say, they're not gonna ding that too hard. And sure enough, they did. So you got to be self-critical. You know, sometimes even on that second inspection, there might be a card I'm still not, it's kind of a bubble card, I call it, sort of on the fence. Man, I could send it. I might not. You know, it's conditions right on that line. Do it, you know. And I'll kind of put it to the side and keep going. And then I'll kind of come back to it when I'm all done. Those bubble cards, those cards I was on the fence or wasn't sure which way to lean, I'll focus on them again. And there's times I'll say, I just won't submit it. It's not, you know, the card's not, it's not going to be a significant bump anyway. And I'm already debating it. And so then I just kind of keep it raw. Or there's others where it's a significant card. And I'm like, you know what? It's worth taking a flyer. And I'll just submit it. Could be an 8.5 or it could be a 9.5, right? And that's the chance you take. Sometimes that's the fun of the whole grading process, is to see how good your eye is. And I can tell you from my early stages to where I'm at now, you know, if I had to put a percentage of, you know, if I guessed the grade before I submitted it, you know, what percentage of the time I'm right, I'd probably say between 80-90%. And that's, you know, if you do that math, that's a pretty high percentage to just say, hey, this is going to get a 10, this might get a 9.5, 9, and be accurate. And so I've kind of honed that craft over many years of doing it. Didn't start out like that. And through trial and error, I've got it down. I don't want to say to a science, but I've got it down to a pretty good routine. Where I know, hey, I should send these in, shouldn't send these in. And even those ones that are sort of on the fence on, I've always seemed to do fairly well on the grade. If I've sent a card in that I wasn't sure I was going to pull it at either that 9 or the 8, when I have sent it in and tracked it, you know, I'm probably at an 80% clip at predicting what it would get. So that's pretty good percentage-wise. And you know, that's how I acquire my cards. That's how I figure out which ones to send in. I don't actually, you know, another question I get asked is, do you buy a lot of cards already graded? I do. I wouldn't say a lot, but I do buy some. But I try to get, a lot of times, any kind of graded cards where I'm buying where they're already graded, those are coming in either in those collection buys or those lot buys. Very rare that I'll buy a single graded card. I more or less will get those cards by submitting raw cards. Just the ROI is better. You know, you buy a card for $5 raw, and then maybe you send it in a year or two later because that prospect isn't, you know, becomes a superstar. And that $5 card's now $25 cards a $25 card, but now you submit it for grading and it gets a 10, and now that $25 raw card is $200 as a graded 10 and going up. And so that's kind of been my modus operandi with graded cards. You know, everyone has a different style, a different approach. Like I said, there's no really wrong way. That's just how I've kind of done it from Jump Street. And so, you know, someone asked me to explain, you know, not so much the grading process, but where do I get my inventory and how do I know, you know, submit it. And so that's me letting you in a little bit behind the scenes. And no secrets. I suspect many have similar styles and techniques. That's just mine. So, you know, be careful, you know, when you're buying from a platform, eBay, sometimes those pictures don't always represent the actual card, or it doesn't always highlight a blemish and whatnot. So be careful, you know, but a lot of times you should definitely look at the photos that the seller lists, whatever platform, eBay, CompC, you can see a lot of times ahead of time in the photos, you know. Now that's not, a lot of times just from looking at the photo, you can tell that's not going to be able to be graded. And so you do it enough times, you'll hone your craft, you'll hone your skill, and you'll get a lot better at it, as I did. From early incarnation. So a little bit behind the scenes of how I obtain cards to get graded, how I pick which ones make the cut and which ones don't. If you have any questions, believe me, I'm here to help. I'm one of those people in the hobby that are glad to help people maybe just coming in or coming back after a hiatus, and it's a different landscape. If you have any questions, obviously I don't know everything. No one does, but I'll help you as much as you can. If you do enjoy the show and like the show, I ask you to please subscribe and or leave a nice review. We do appreciate those, and it helps promote the show to others who may not already know about it. So with that being said, we're gonna wrap this episode up, and we'll see you next week on Hobby Quick Hits.
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.